You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Did you know that you have an appointment with God? In the Bible, we read that God has set a day in which He will judge the entire world.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. The International Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Wallace Schultz, Associate Lutheran Hour Speaker. It is our prayer that it will bring hope and joy to your life.
God of love and God of grace, if you kept a record of everyone's sins, no one, not even a clergyman, could stand. But in your grace and mercy, you have established a plan to rescue all mankind from the fires of hell. By your Spirit, draw us to the sin-cleansing blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lead us to sincere repentance, then clothe us with your white robe of righteousness. Place within our hearts a living faith. Lead us always to believe in the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. In Jesus' intercessory name we pray, amen. A 3-year federal investigation of elected officials in the state of Oklahoma revealed that graft and corruption were deep and routine. According to the Assistant U.S. Attorney, this probe represented the largest investigation in the terms of sheer numbers in the nation's history. The crackdown on widespread corruption brought initial arrests of 250 people statewide. 51 county commissioners resigned. The shocking part of the corruption was that it had gone on for so long and that it had been looked upon by many as an acceptable way of life. One man who had been in business for 28 years admitted that he had arranged, on the average, one bribe for every working day. This corruption became so commonplace that few people expected justice ever to prevail. But let's be honest as we look at this situation. It is easy to point a finger in hypocrisy and self-righteousness. However, being comfortable with sin and expecting no consequences is not limited to officials in Oklahoma. Magazine articles reveal that more people than ever before are cheating on their income tax. In another area of life, a young clergyman who now works primarily among businessmen and women has pointed out that adultery in the business world is currently rampant. Everyone seems to be doing it, and no one appears to suffer as a result of their sinful actions. In the past 2 decades, a growing number of children have become openly defiant and disobedient to their parents and teachers. Again, many of these children have the feeling that everyone seems to be doing this, and no one expects any dire consequences. Do anything you please as long as you do not get caught, appears to be, for many people, the prevailing philosophy of life. Yes, the devil has cleverly tricked countless unwary individuals into believing that God no longer hates sin and that He no longer punishes unrepentant sinners. To some, it may even erroneously appear that the wicked have the most fun in life. But don't ever be deceived. Yes, God in His mercy frequently does delay His wrath and punishment of sin. But this does not mean that He will hold back His eventual punishment of all those who have transgressed His commandments and all who do not repent. Let me read directly from the Bible, and I quote, "The fact is, God is very patient toward you. He has no wish that any man should be destroyed. He wishes that all men should come to repent." The Bible continues by saying, "Yet it remains true that the day of the Lord will come as suddenly and as unexpectedly as a thief in the night." If you are one of those who feels God is going to overlook your sinful habits of gossip, of being unkind to family members, or your sins of dishonesty and immorality, then listen closely as I read again directly from the Holy Scriptures, Acts chapter 17. God has fixed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 we read, "For every one of us will have to stand without pretense before Christ our judge, and we will be rewarded for what we did, whether it was good or bad." If there is one thing Jesus clearly warned about during His public ministry, it was this: prepare for the final day of judgment. But as you do, always remember that the loving Savior did not preach a message based on fear. He demonstrated that all who turn from their sinful ways and all who follow Him are assured of complete and total forgiveness. As you contemplate your sinful mistakes and past failures, listen as your Savior is saying to you, "He who comes to me, I will never turn away." Jesus will serve as the judge on Judgment Day. This is seldom preached from pulpits, but the Bible clearly teaches it. He will permit no excuses. The Holy Scriptures proclaim, "There is nothing covered up that will not be revealed." Jesus said, "Whatever you have said in the dark shall be heard in the light." And there will be no second chance. In the 9th chapter of Hebrews we read, "It is appointed unto men once to die, but after that the judgment." As those committed to the proper preaching of the Holy Scriptures, we must never fail to point out that it is not necessary to constantly fear the day of judgment. Even if you are lying on your deathbed and your time is short, or if you at this hour are facing the terror of cancer with only a few days or hours to live, there is for you a living hope. From this hour on, live no longer under the slavery of the fear of death. You can know with absolute assurance that there is a better place waiting for you soon. Perhaps you believe your life has been too bad to be accepted by a holy God. If this is the way you feel, then the gospel, the good news, the central message of the Bible, is precisely what your troubled heart and guilty conscience is crying out for. Without Jesus Christ, you and I could never be accepted by a holy and righteous God. But with the blood of Jesus Christ covering our sins and cleansing us from all our guilt, we can stand before God and know with confidence He will accept us. This is only because of what Jesus has done on the cross. Yes, the Holy Scriptures proclaim that God delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Did you know that Jesus wants us to look up and to look forward to that day when He will come with all His holy angels to judge the world in righteousness? At that time, all His followers will be welcomed into a place of perfect bliss and happiness, the very presence of God. But Jesus also pointed out that all who reject Him, and even those who remain indifferent to His gracious invitation, will be cast into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. That horrible and terrifying place is described in the Bible as a place where the worms do not die and the fire is not quenched. Yes, God has already appointed a day in which He will judge the world. You and I will be present. Albert Einstein is revered around the world because he understood previously obscure laws of physics. Sir Isaac Newton figured out and explained the basic law of gravitation. but no one will ever comprehend the love Jesus had for you and me and all sinners when he voluntarily died on the cross. You can never know the love Jesus has for you this moment. No one, not even the most brilliant individual, can fully comprehend the agony and the suffering Jesus willingly experienced as he died on the cross, and thereby purchased for us, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood, forgiveness of sin, and won for us a place eternally in heaven. Isaiah the prophet foretold the sufferings of the blessed Redeemer when he wrote, "He was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquity." Centuries later, and to the momentary glee of the Savior's enemies, the words of Isaiah became reality. Jesus was maliciously hated by those he came so graciously to save. They spent days devising devilish schemes to frame him and put him to death. Jesus was without sin. Therefore, his enemies were forced to arrange a kangaroo court and falsely convict the blessed Redeemer. Even clever Pontius Pilate knew in his heart that Jesus was innocent. He knew that because of envy, the Savior's enemies had delivered him up to be put to death. Finally, Pilate, against his own better judgment, gave in to the vicious, bloodthirsty desires of the hysterical crowd and said, "Let him be crucified." But the order to shed innocent blood caused even the calloused Roman governor's conscience to flare up. And like you and I, when we have betrayed friends, deceived neighbors, or even wronged family members, Pontius Pilate knew he was guilty. In the same way, today, troubled consciences are warning people of their guilt, including many who call themselves Christians. Yes, you and I frequently prefer to follow Pilate's example. In front of the crowd, the Roman governor took some water, washed his hands, and said, "I am innocent of this man's blood." But we, like Pilate, must always remember, God has appointed a day in which all your sins and mine will be exposed. Indeed, Pontius Pilate's and also our cowardly type of cover-ups may impress the crowds, but excuses and phony demonstrations of non-involvement will never prevent God's wrath and eventual punishment. It did not help Pilate, and it is of no value today. And so, when we examine our lives, you and I can quickly see that our sins and mistakes are many. Our only hope is to trust in God's mercy. People do not go to hell because they fail to improve their lives. They go to hell because they fail to believe in the mercy of God. We can never improve ourselves enough to be accepted by God. Our only hope is to trust in God's pardon, His mercy, and His total and complete forgiveness. Indeed, there are those today who feel no need to repent. They are convinced they are doing just fine by claiming some vague belief in some God somewhere. Our outwardly religious but inwardly rebellious generation must hear again the words of John the Baptist spoken to the self-righteous and outwardly religious Pharisees. John the Baptist turned to the phonies and said, "You snakes, who told you to avoid the day of judgment? Don't just try to cloak your hypocrisy with religion. Your life must demonstrate sincere and total repentance. It must bear," John the Baptist said, "good fruit as evidence of sincere and godly repentance." Yes, so often today we have come to believe that we can offer pious religious phrases like, "I believe in Jesus," or "I'm born again," and yet at the same time live in any way that we please. We speak of heaven on Sunday and court the agents of hell during the rest of the week. This phoniness is epitomized in the actions of a well-known publisher of pornographic material who has received considerable media attention in the last several months. Journalists writing for well-known magazines have described him as one who claims to be born again and yet is able to continue to publish pornography. How blind can people be? God is not fooled. You and I also may not be publishing pornographic materials, but living a life of willful and blatant sin, and even hanging on to our petty sins and failing to sincerely repent, is just as serious in the sight of God. And so from this day forward, rely no more on excuses for your sins. When you examine your life, do not compare it with your neighbor. Compare your life with that of the perfect and sinless Son of God, Jesus Christ. Always remember that God has already set a date when you and I will stand before Him to be judged. Then as you realize the words of the Holy Scriptures that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, confess your sins to your Heavenly Father, rely on the promise of the Bible which says, God is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Trust completely in the sin-cleansing power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let God's Spirit enable you to bring forth fruits of sincere repentance, a lifestyle reflecting God's goodness. Then, live each day not in despair, but with anticipation of the final judgment. Jesus is speaking to you today as He says, "Lift up your heads, your redemption draweth nigh." Joyfully follow the advice of St. Paul in Colossians as he says, "Set your minds on things above, not on things that are on earth." Judgment Day will be a day of great rejoicing for all who die trusting in the Redeemer. They will be welcomed to that place of eternal joy described in the Bible, where there will be no more pain, no more sorrow, where believers in the Lord Jesus Christ will walk along the river of living water, and where God will wipe away every tear from our eyes. This is my prayer, that this is your hope today. Amen.